I'm Josh Morin with Tattikin Tree Company. I'm a board-certified master arborist. I help to take care of people's trees in the Boulder community.
Josh, Thursday morning, we woke up to snow. Is that a problem for trees?
Well, whenever there's snow and leaves, we tend to see damage on trees. You know, we're seeing that this morning. A number of trees have taken some damage. Typically, it's with trees that have multiple stems and trees that haven't gone dormant yet, trees that haven't lost their leaves for the winter season.
And here in Boulder, a lot of trees still have leaves. They've had snow on them this week now, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're looking at a pear tree right now that's still in full leaf and plenty of green leaves. And that's a species of tree that tends to have very weak branch attachments and sustains a lot of damage in storms like these and early snows. One of the things we do to try to prevent that is proper tree care. That's what we've built our business on, preventive tree maintenance. And that means proper pruning, getting out on the branch ends and thinning out excessive weight, maintaining a good balance and a good structure in the tree. And that means having an even spacing of branches. We don't like to strip out the interior of a tree because that tends to increase the amount of damage during storms like this.
Now, you're with Tattikin Trees, which is a professional tree group. For our listeners, a lot of them will want to know how to do this on their own. Can they go out with a pair of clippers and trim back the ends of trees and thin out the branches and do some things to save their trees from the next big snow?
Yeah, there are some things that homeowners can do in terms of preventive maintenance to their trees. We have a rule of thumb when it comes to pruning. We really recommend that everyone stay on the ground. If you have to do something that requires you to get on a ladder, that's when you should think about calling in a professional. But certainly going out with a pole clip and doing some tip reduction, it's important that those cuts are made properly back to lateral branches.
Now, Josh, what is a pole clip?
A pole clip is a pruning tool, and it's a bypass pruner head that's on the end of typically a fiberglass pole, and that allows you to get up and reach branches while you're standing on the ground. It's really important when using a tool like that that a homeowner make a good visual assessment to ensure that there aren't any electrical wires near that tree before they would attempt to prune something themselves.
So a pole clip is a very long pole with some way that you can still make the clipper for the tree work at the end, and don't do it if you're anywhere near any power pole or power line at all.
Yeah, unfortunately our industry is one of the most dangerous industries out there, and a lot of people get hurt every year, and a lot of homeowners get hurt. So what we don't want to see is people getting hurt out there, doing something that's unsafe.
Well, let's keep looking for trees that may need some help. Look over here. There's a cherry tree that still has leaves on it and a lot of droopy branches. Is that a bad sign?
Well, I think if we get more snow in the future without having this snow melt off, it could cause some breakage. So this tree has a multi-stem form. It splits off at about 2 feet and branches into about 3 stems.
And it has a lot of leaves on it, and some of these branches that normally stick up are almost touching the ground, covered with snow. Would it help to bring a broom out here and just shake the snow off?
Yeah, I think that that's one of the best things that you can do is just, I can do it right now, is grab this branch and just give it a little shake.
And look at that, it's bounced right back up.
Yeah, you can see that taking that weight off of the branch bounced it right back. And it's important that you do that before you see structural cracks in the limbs. Once a tree branch is cracked, it can't always be saved. Sometimes we do save them by screwing them back together, almost like, surgery.
Surgery on trees. I'm going to try this shaky thing. Hold on a second. It's cold when snow on the tree, but it's very satisfying.
Yeah, you've got some great cherries, and I think it's definitely worth a shake to try to save them.
Now, if a branch does break, say on a fruit tree, it's kind of pathetic, isn't it? Because you can lose so many pretty branches.
You really can. And, if a branch does break, it can interrupt the structure of a tree. So it's important after you have damage to a tree to come back in and prune it properly. We do restoration pruning, and that's actually guiding the tree back into a strong form. We've done a lot of that over the last year with the amount of damage that we took on our trees. So that's something that you can do once a tree has sustained damage.
Let's get this poor peach tree here to give a little shake to it now.
Woo!
This is cold work. Lots of snow falls everywhere.
Yeah, that's a healthy-looking peach tree. The leaves on that tree are about 5 inches long. it's looking like it's pretty good. You get some good peaches off of that this year?
Yes, but also we lost a lot of limbs on it last year. It's trying to come back, and it was really sad to see it so broken. Now, you have mentioned that sometimes people trim trees aesthetically in a way that is not good for the tree. It's a very common thing to give a lot of airspace to a tree in the middle and have the branches be long and pendulous because it's so pretty. Is that good for the tree?
The shorter answer is no. It's not good for the tree. And in our industry, we refer to that as lion's tailing or lazy pruning. When you get into the center of a tree and you cut out all the interior branches, and that actually predisposes a tree to more damage. So it's really essential that a tree is pruned properly and that you maintain good, even branch spacing.
You mentioned lateral branches before. What is a lateral branch?
A lateral branch is a branch that comes off of a main stem at an angle. And that we always try to prune back to lateral branches because that's where a tree will actually begin to compartmentalize and grow over a pruning wound.
Oh, so that means that if a big branch broke, you would look for a branch that sticks out kind of like the square corner on a box.
Exactly.
And then you would trim back to that, and that would give the tree a place to start growing again safely without getting sick.
Yeah, we always try to make cuts at the proper location. And trees have some special tissue. It's called meristematic tissue. And that divides really quickly and actually grows around a pruning wound. So we always try to prune back to lateral branches and make pruning cuts at branch collars.
And then, look, you said a branch collar. Now, if I trimmed this little twig here all the way back so that you don't see any nub at all, is that good for the tree?
No, it's not. That's what we would call a flush cut. And when you prune back into the main stem, you're actually wounding that main stem tissue. And what you want to do is prune just after the bulge of the branch. So where the branch grows out of the stem, there's a small little bulge. We call that the branch collar.
And that branch collar, it looks almost like it's like a little wedding ring or something. It has a circularness to it that's different from the rest of the bark so that you can kind of tell how far out it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see that the tissue is oriented slightly different in that location. And so that's where you would make the pruning cut, just outside of that branch collar.
Just outside of the ring.
Yeah, just outside of the ring. And you can see right here, there's a small branch that was pruned off or came off before, and there's some callus tissue that's beginning to grow around it. And there's a little bit of a bulge where that callus tissue is growing. That's a proper wound closure on a tree.
A teeny tiny bit of bulge as it gets grown over, and it doesn't hurt the tree to have that. Now, we have leaves on trees, and the leaves are still giving nutrition to this tree for winter. That makes me think that it's important to wait until the leaves are off. But does it really matter when to trim a tree?
Well, it does matter in terms of managing insects and disease. Certain species are prone to diseases that are out when the growing season is taking place or when the weather is warm. Crab apples, for instance, are very prone to fire blight. So as a general rule, we always prune crab apples in the dormant season when the leaves are off and the temperatures are cold, because that reduces the amount of bacteria that carry and infect into crab apple trees.
But how do you tell which branches to trim when there aren't any leaves on the trees? Naturally, you want to trim off dead branches.
Right.
Oh, by the way, do you want to get out from underneath the snowy tree?
Sure.
Yep. Right now, there are leaves on trees. Mm-hmm. And right now, that means the trees are incredibly vulnerable to any of the big snows that we're likely to get over the next few weeks. So is now a good time to do some protective trimming of trees?
Yeah, now is a great time to do protective or preventive trimming of trees, thinning and reducing branch ends on trees that are especially heavy or look like they'll sustain some damage.
And so reducing branch ends, that means go out to the very end of the tree's branch and trim it back by a few inches, maybe a few feet, do something to shorten the length of how much it has to bend if it has snow on it.
Yeah, exactly. That's the guiding principle.
Okay, so that's one job. So shake the trees when the snow's on them, trim them back when the snow, when you can. But then after that, for just really thorough tree trimming, how do you tell when the leaves are off? Mm-hmm. When is the right time to trim off a branch? How do you tell if it's dead or not?
Sure. Actually, winter is a great time to prune trees. And for trained arborists, it's very easy to tell which branches are healthy and which branches are dead. And for instance, on this cherry tree, you can see that the tree has already set its buds for next year. And on the healthy branches, there are very plump buds that are at the base of each branch.
Oh, yes, that's that little kind of brown thingy that it looks like a bud.
Yeah, you've got it. And right now, it's sitting right next to the petiole, or the leaf structure, that's still on the tree. Now, if we were to look at a branch like this branch end right here, you can see that there aren't any buds on there.
That's right. This one is as dead as a stick, this little...
A little too wet.
We're trying to make a stick cracking sound, but it's too wet, but it's still a dead twig.
It is. And then if you're not sure, you can sometimes just take a little bit of a scratch with your thumbnail, and you can confirm that that is indeed dead. There's just no life left in it. Up there was our break.
Look at that. It's a tidier branch now. So those are some simple recommendations for homeowners, what they can do themselves, what they need done for them. How about good tools? Is it important to get somebody to, what's it called, sharpen?
Yeah, we have a saying in arboriculture, you always have to take time to sharpen the saw. And that means that you need to take care of your tools, and you also need to have the right tool for the right job. And a homeowner should always look to purchase a pair of bypass pruners. When you're going out to the garden store or the garden center and you're looking for a pruning tool,
just say bypass pruner, please.
Say bypass pruner, not an anvil-type pruner. Anvil-type pruners tend to damage plant tissue, and that's not what you want to use when pruning trees. A bypass pruner works like a pair of scissors. So you have basically a cutting edge and then a sharp blade. And as that cutting edge and sharp blade intersect, they slice off the tissue. An anvil-type pruner works by having a flat surface and a cutting edge, and it works in a chopping motion. So the result of an anvil pruner is that it actually damages the tissue more than a bypass pruner.
What's this big lopper here?
I'm afraid you've got the wrong pair of loppers here. This is what's referred to as an anvil-type lopper. And you can see here's the anvil down here. Yeah, and then we bring the blade down, and that's how it severs tissue. It's like if you're in your kitchen and you're thinking about chopping up some vegetables. The cutting board is the flat surface, and your knife is the cutting blade.
What about this one? Is that another...
I think we've got more bad news. That's another pair of anvil pruners. It sounds like you need to invest in some bypass pruners for your property.
Geez, somebody sold me these things and said they were good, but you're saying they're not. Now, how about this one over here? So far, you're taking all of my favorite ones that have the...
I really am. I'm going to show you a pair that are a pair of bypass pruners. They're a pair of shears right here.
Here's these clippers.
And you can hear those two blades passing by each other, and that's a pair of bypass clippers. I could take you out to the truck and show you a pair of nice bypass pruners if you're interested.
Let's go do it.
So these are a pair of bypass pruners, and you can see that there's the flat cutting edge and there's the scissor blade, and as you squeeze them together, those two blades bypass.
Oh, so this still has a bit of a flat cutting edge, but... What the difference is that it doesn't the cutting edge doesn't land flat on it, it goes past it.
Right. And if you look, as we make a cut here, you can see it makes a very clean, smooth cut, and that's really important for plants to be able to heal properly and to be able to grow callus tissue over the wounds, having a nice, clean cut. And so I'll also pull out another tool that we use, which is called a hole pruner.
Look at this. You always have these in the back of your truck.
Yeah, you never know what Mother Nature is going to bring our way, so it's always good to be prepared.
And so this looks like it's as long as a broom handle, and then it has a clipper thing on the top and a rope to make it cut things.
So if we walk over here towards your house, you can see there's a small volunteer tree, we would call it, that has grown up underneath this pinyon pine. And that tree doesn't have a very good form. It's sort of leaning over. Looks like a Siberian elm to me. And it's kind of leaning off over on the roof. And there's a really heavy branch that's lying here in your shrub. It looks like your privet shrub. So one thing we could do is actually go up and make a pruning cut to reduce some of the weight that's on this Siberian elm branch.
Let's do it.
So we'll start off on the end of the branch first, because you never know, just by taking a little bit of weight, we might get the desired result.
Look at that, just one cut of 2 feet of branch on the end, and it's already not as heavy.
Yep, and it's sitting up there. And I think ultimately what we'd like to see is that the remainder of this tree get pruned back, or you might even want to consider removing that tree. It really doesn't have a future. It's going to want to grow up to about 50 or 60 feet, and that's just going to be too close to your house.
Not a future for that volunteer, and it's kind of an ugly tree anyway.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you very much. So people can trim trees any time of the year, but now is a good time to trim them to keep them from breaking in the snow.
Yep, you just want to make sure that you're not pruning trees like American elms and crabapple trees during the growing season.